Hey, this is John Lee Dumas of the award-winning podcast, Entrepreneurs on Fire, and you're listening to the Excelsior Journeys with George Soroy. Prepare to ignite.
So would you say that that's kind of like the lightning bolt moment for
you? And that's
why
I taught myself how to draw, was actually the Little Mermaid, drawing stills of Ariel.
I've got better things to do tonight than die.
Sylvester jumped out of his chair and said, who the F is this?
I remember walking out of the theater with him saying, I'm going to write Halloween.
I'm rather impressed with your research. Rarely do people ask me about Children in the Corn.
It doesn't have to be perfect. Just do it. You know, throw some spaghetti against a wall. See if it sticks.
This is George Soroy saying to all of you, ever upward.
Welcome back to Excelsior Journeys, the road to creativity, part of the Podmatch podcast network. This is George Soroy, and thank you so much for being here. And I am always thrilled to hear from writers that have been able to go forth on a project that they had a whole lot of passion for, that it worked, that they had wanted to see happen over the years, and then finally get it out there and are tasting the success that is definitely deserved after all the work that they had put in. Michael Wendroff is definitely in that ranking there. As someone who also went to college in NYC, he went to New York University. I went to Marymount Manhattan College. While I was reading through his bio, I saw exactly every single thing that I should have done when I was in college, because once he got there, he started working at a literary agency. He was delivering manuscripts to publishers. He was handling foreign rights, all of this stuff. And the whole time I'm thinking, I was just like, damn it, why didn't I do this? Because it would have made things a whole lot easier during my time in New York City. So once again, another bit of regret that I did not fully take advantage of my time there. So let this be a lesson to all of you New Yorkers who are going to college. I was told this, and I did not really take it to heart when I did my orientation at Marymount. New York really is your campus. So wherever you are, wherever you're going to school, get involved in New York City. There are so many opportunities for those that are willing to put in the work. Michael has done that, and he was able to eventually get into handling foreign rights, and after graduation, went into marketing, started his own marketing company. But at the same time, the writing was always the passion. It's always been something that had been waiting inside to be realized. And it finally was, as the thriller debut novel called What Goes Around, which has been re-released as in many different languages. It has been critically acclaimed, and it has also achieved the kind of success that has led his publisher to sign him for his second book. And I'm happy to say that he just finished that first draft. So we got some celebrating. We have some remembering. We have some reflecting. It's going to be a lot of fun. So if I may, let me introduce my guest this week, Michael Wendroff. Michael, how are you, sir?
I'm great. Thank you so much for that terrific intro.
Oh, thank you very much for being here. And sure. I am really glad that we're able to do this. So first of all, congratulations on hitting end on book two. Tell us a little bit about that.
That's my two favorite words, the end. But the
you wouldn't be a writer if you weren't, if those weren't your favorite words.
But the truth is, I found out from writing my first book, What Goes Around, that when I hit the end, that's not the end, not by a long shot.
Because, the end is only the beginning.
For sure. First, most writers will have maybe their family look at it. In my case, my daughters are really into the category thrillers, and they're good editors. But when that, then what I did, and I'm about to do on the second novel, is send it to beta readers. And what a beta reader is, a reader that reads in your category, could be a friend or not, just someone that likes to read in the category. And I'll get input from the beta readers. And there, I've gotten good input. For What Goes Around, I actually added yet another twist to the story based on some beta reader input. But then I learned, at least with traditional publishing, that there's more than one editor there. There's the first editor, which is the editor that acquires your book, the editor that buys your book. And that editor, I would say, is more of a strategic thinking editor. So big picture things like maybe you should add a prologue, or maybe you should move this action from the middle to the end, that type of thing. So then I'll make changes based on that. And then there's a line editor, which is exactly what it sounds like. The line editor goes through every single line in your book, make sure it's as good as can be. So then I'll make any revisions I have to make based on that. And after that whole process is done, then there is a copy editor. And what a copy editor does is checks to make sure you didn't say, for example, she has green eyes in chapter 2 and brown eyes in chapter 8. And then, and things like if you're dealing with guns, I didn't know anything about them. They'll fact check the stuff that I put in there on that and looking up some things with these secret groups, crazy groups I have in my novel, incels, boogaloo boys. They'll check stuff like that. And after that process and I make changes, then it goes to the proofreader. And the proofreader will find stuff for sure. I'm actually shocked when I look at other bestsellers that I read, and I'll still find mistakes in spelling or what have you in those. Oh, yeah. So it's amazing to me, but that's the proofreader's job. But I guess if you have 90,000 words in a book, you're bound to still have at least one error. Well, then, so then I was done with all of those editing stages. And I was like, whew. And then my publisher comes to me and says, Michael, the typeface has just been set on the hardcover edition. You need to read your whole book again to make sure nothing fell out in that process.
Oh, no.
I can't tell you how many times I read my book. It's a good thing I like it.
Thankfully, yeah. That would definitely be tough for a lot of people, because when it comes to the revisiting of these things and going from one draft after draft and then just putting in that work, making those changes, getting everything refined, heeding the editor's notes, all the different editors, applying them all, and then going through it again, it's a process. And it's something that people need to remember, because it's only, at the end of the day, it's your name that is on that cover. That's it doesn't exactly have anyone right. else's names.
You have to persevere and be resilient to get through that process. And, you know, the point you just made of it's your name on the book, that's an interesting point, too, that I learned when it comes to that editorial feedback. Because when I first got most of the remarks, I thought were great and made my book better. But then there were some instances where I wasn't sure if those editorial requested changes were right or not. I asked different people about how much leeway do you have with your editor? Are you allowed to dispute this or not? And the answer they gave was what you said, that it's your name on the book. So make sure you're comfortable. The way it worked out with my editor was that on any given comment, sometimes I'll agree right away. Sometimes I'll ask for an explanation from the editor and I'll get it and I'll agree. And sometimes I'll have a point of view that disagreed and give my rationale and my editor would say, you're right. So it's a collaboration for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And at the same time, though, you've had a very interesting life going from everything regarding working for the literary agency and then working with publishers and then getting into marketing and then getting into writing. Now, one of the things that I love to hear about is what I call the road to creativity. And that's that period of time when you experience something or read something, meet someone, see something, whatever. And it just makes you want to get off of the path that you're on, get on that exit ramp, and all of a sudden merge in with traffic. And then you're on a whole other direction. When it comes to the various creative elements that you've been involved in, which one really, was it writing that was always the steering, like the driving force of everything?
Yeah, this has been a project in the making for all my life, in that the real impetus for the specific story in What Goes Around is what my mother said to me the second I was born, I'm told.
Yeah.
I was put on her chest. She looked deeply into my eyes and she said, oh, how nice to see you again. And it was the again part that always intrigued me. And I always wanted to do something with that. I always wanted to write something with that. But it took marketing and got in the way, my marketing career. Everything was shapes you in your life. Like for my mother, she also shaped my writing in that she herself back in the day was a editor at New York City publishing houses.
Wow.
And she, yeah, I distinctly remember her sitting on a couch on a weekend, cross-legged, manuscript pages strewn about her, red pen in hand, marking up with her editor's comments on some poor author's manuscript. And you think that would have prepared me for when I got my editor's input. And now, it wasn't in a red pen. Those comments in the margin of the Word document, they felt like they were in a red pen.
But wouldn't you rather have the comments in the margins rather than in the reviews?
100%. You're 100% right. 100%. Mm-hmm. And she prepared me for, because I knew that it's a process. It is funny, though. I've spoken to some really big best-selling authors. And this one woman, Sarah Penner, told me the story where she said that she wrote her book. She got a lot of money for her book from the publisher. And then she got her editor's comments. And she said she cried for the next week. It was like 30 pages worth of stuff in the editor's editorial letter. She's like, why'd they buy this book if they want me to change everything? But it was all for the good because her initial book became a bestseller as of her last few. So yes, you're right. Yeah, it definitely, I'd rather have it at the early stage than at the review stage. And I was lucky. You mentioned the literary agent thing. And beyond delivering the manuscripts, it was actually my mother had remarried. And she married a literary agent. And yeah, he had a lot of famous authors and they mostly did write in the thriller and mystery genres and they were good. So that got me reading in those genres. And of course the books were free to me. So,
of course.
I remember one time, one of his authors was Robert Ludlum, who your listeners may know from the Matt Damon movies, the Bourne Identity stuff. And I remember we were invited to his winter home, which was in the Caribbean in St. Thomas, and we were up there. And I also remember early one morning waking up and going up to his living room, and he's sitting there on his couch, yellow legal pad in hand and a number two Dixon Ticonderoga pencil, and he's scribbling away. Mm-hmm. And that's how he wrote his 450-page novels by hand. Jeez.
Oh, man.
I admire his plotting and his prose, but thank God when it came time for me to write my novel, I had a PC.
And not only that, but I admire his penmanship if he's able to do that, because I know my own penmanship. My penmanship is I'm a step away from filling out prescriptions. So I hope that he's got like a really good typist who can who was able to determine everything that was there and properly transcribe it. He was like, yeah, that is nuts. And I got to say, like when you mentioned the editors, the different editors, I had for one of my books back that I was working on back in 2018. I was 27 in 2018. I have my developmental / story editor, someone who'd been with me for a lot of years. And she kept on saying that for the second book in this trilogy, since we're introducing a whole new world, because it's a young adult sci-fi, she said, your character, Excelsior, he's got to go on a walkabout. He's got to connect with this whole planet. And you got to show your readers all these different areas of this planet. And so I did that. I worked for weeks on end and everything, just trying to really be very meticulous about the different types of land masses that are there. So that way everything really sticks out. And then I sent it over to my editor for the publishing house. And she looked at it and was just like, first four chapters read like a travelogue. You got to get rid of all those. So it's like just throwing up my hands and just like, all right, what do I do now?
That's right. But writing could be frustrating for sure.
It definitely can be. Thankfully, I figured out like my little loophole that I was able to exploit my character's powers and have him basically just kind of whip himself around the whole planet and then reconnect his consciousness with his body. But yeah, working with different editors, it can be very grueling when you got that sort of back and forth like that. When one editor says one thing and then another editor is saying, what about this part over here? It can definitely be trying at times, wouldn't you say?
That's a good word.
So when all this was, so as you're doing all this stuff, like working for this agency and getting all of this experience, basically working with them, what were all the different things you were doing? Because you weren't just delivering manuscripts, you were doing other stuff.
Yeah, right? No, you're right. I was learning how to sell some foreign rights, which was very interesting. And I'm happy that my agent has sold foreign language rights to what goes around in Japanese. Hopefully I don't have to proofread that one. Italian and Hungarian. But I was mostly working there when I was going to college, to NYU, as you mentioned. And when I was going for my MBA thesis, I had been studying marketing. And it was then that I combined my two loves of publishing, book writing, as well as with my newfound love of marketing. And the way that I combined them was with my MBA thesis, which was titled Marketing in the Publishing Industry. And for that, I had to interview all of these top execs at publishing firms. And in fact, there's a industry trade journal called Publishers Weekly, and they got wind of it. And they actually ended up excerpting my MBA thesis in three issues of their trade journal. That was actually the first time I got paid for writing. And I like that.
That's a good feeling. That is a good feeling. Just, ooh, I want more of this.
For sure. Yeah. But during that process, I also was interviewing the editor-in-chief at the time at Simon & Schuster, a gentleman by the name of Michael Korda. And I remember I was waiting. We had an interview scheduled at a certain time, and I'm waiting, and it's way past the interview time. Mm-hmm. And finally, his door opens, and he says, "Michael, can you come over here? I want to introduce you to someone." And standing there in his Panama hat and white suit and pink shirt was Truman Capote. That was an experience.
Oh, that is so cool. And what was it like just being a part of that world while you're just soaking all this up?
Yeah, it was fun just learning and meeting a lot of authors. And that was great. Out of school, I went into marketing. We're first marketing for some very large companies. And then I went into my own global consulting marketing company. And it was actually I always wanted to write the book, but I just had one excuse or another and something got in the way. And then the pandemic came. Mm-hmm. So I was out of excuses. I said, okay, here's my chance to give it a shot.
And like, if I don't do it now, it's never going to happen.
So I gave it a shot. And luckily I was able to get a literary agent, which I think honestly, getting a literary agent is actually harder than getting published once you have a literary agent. I had to go through the process like everyone does, which is you have to write query letters to agents, and you got dozens and dozens. The one thing guaranteed is you'll get tons of rejections. Yeah. And then finally, if you're lucky enough, you'll get one agent that says, yeah, okay. And then once he had my novel, it wasn't that hard for him to sell it. So that's why I say it's the tough nut is really getting yourself a good literary agent. So I was lucky that I got him, and the book came out in hardcover, ebook, and audiobook originally, a little over a year ago. And then recently, the book came out in what goes around, came out in paperback, trade paperback. And that edition was actually done with a book club discussion guide as part of it, because the book is very topical. A lot of the reviews talk to how topical it is. And so while a thriller is not normally a book club book, this one happens to be because of the subject matter. It's dealing with tough issues as well as being a page-turning thriller. So they published it with that. And I've actually spoken in front of a lot of book clubs. And I just, I love that. I love the interaction. And I'm happy if there are any listeners out there that want me to show up either in person or via Zoom on their book clubs, I'm happy to do that. So that came out. And we mentioned that the foreign translations came out. And now I've finished book two that'll be coming out. And I don't have a due date. I had a due date. It was due to the publisher in May. So I'm really well on track to beat that. And then we'll see when it comes out.
So I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah. So, I was just going to say that it's good that's done, because if you have listeners that are aspiring authors, the other thing they really should know is that writing is only about half of the process, 50% of being an author. The other 50% is really marketing, is really getting on podcasts like this and getting out there in front of book clubs, just doing whatever you can do on the marketing end. So all you aspiring authors, be prepared and start increasing your social media, et cetera, et cetera.
Absolutely. And just hearing what you were saying before about how you got your literary agent, it reminded me of something that William Goldman once said, how no one wants to be the first one to give someone their break. They're perfectly fine with giving someone their break once they've already had one. Mm-hmm. And then they can work with them and see what, but no one wants to be the first one to step up and say, here you go. And so it sounds like what you were saying regarding getting a literary agent, that is the hardest part, because of that, no one wants to be the first one, but you thankfully had someone who would say, you know what? Yes, I believe in this work. I believe in this author, and I'm going to see what I can do. And then once the publisher sees that, they're not getting it from you. So they're not giving you your first break. They're relying on the word of someone that they've worked with.
Very true.
So that's what really leads to everything. Some people say that they want to not get an agent or anything if they feel like they would be screwed over in some way. I'm a big proponent of working with an agent.
You're 100% right. If you want to be traditionally published, you definitely have to get an agent. The big publishers, traditional publishers, will not look at a manuscript that doesn't come through from an agent. And agents do a lot for you. They're the ones, they're screening things for the publishers. That makes it easier on the publisher. But they're the ones that have the contacts. They know each publishing firm and they know the editors at the firms. For example, my agent knew exactly who would respond best to my thriller, to What Goes Around. The agent sent it to that right person. And then if you're lucky enough to get the publishing firm to buy your book, they'll go through the contract with you. Obviously, they'll negotiate the terms up front first, take you through it. They'll help you with the whole editorial relationship and make sure you're aware of how that's going to go. And they'll sell foreign rights if they can, and other rights. Yeah, if you can get an agent, it's definitely well worth it. Not that there's anything wrong with self-publishing. There's plenty of best-selling novels that have come through the self-publishing route. Colleen Hoover started that way with mega sales. And publishers don't know everything. There's plenty of good novels out there that they reject. Mm-hmm. Going back, I mentioned Robert Ludlum, and I remember that his first novel was rejected by 14 publishers, and the 15th said, let me try it. And it became a bestseller, as did everything he wrote. So it's different paths to get there, for sure.
And we're definitely not one to disparage anyone else's path. Whatever works for them, everyone's got their own ideas when it comes to getting their work out there. A lot of people are all about retaining control over everything from start to finish. And so if you're going to go that route, then by all means, go indie, vaya con Dios, have at it. And then there are those who really just want to know that they're being invested in. And that's where my mindset is. I've done the indie route before, and I'm glad to have done it. But now I like the fact that I have an agent, I have a publisher, and I have people that believe in me and want to see these books through with the eventual relaunches. So I'm excited about what
my publisher helps in so many ways. Besides all the editing, they came up with the name. It was initially called Perennial, and based on the story my mother told me and the twist at the end, you'd know why. They said Perennial, and they came up with a few names, and they came up with What Goes Around. And when I saw that, I said, wow, that's perfect, perfect. Yeah. And I like that. I think you're originally creating some connection with the reader because they see What Goes Around, and in their mind, they'll automatically say What Goes Around comes around. So you've already got something going with your reader. And besides the name, the cover art, they did the cover art. And what I love about the cover art is that it not only looks like a thriller, and when you see this book in bookstore, it really pops off the shelf, but it's also got a circularity to the design, which based on what my book is about, there's a lot of themes in it, but what it's about, it was a great cover. It's a perfect cover. Yeah. Those publishers do a lot in many different ways.
Oh yeah. And that is an incredibly sharp looking cover and great colors. It really does pop off of the page. And so, take me to the moment that every writer yearns for. It's like, it's one thing to get money. It's one thing to get a deal. It's one thing to go through the edits. It's one thing to actually write the end on the manuscript. But every single writer yearns for that moment when they open up the box that gets delivered to them, they reach in and they're holding the finished copy in their hands. What was that like for you for What Goes Around?
That was so exciting. Opening that box, and I actually had my wife take a video of my opening it for that moment. But it was just thrilling because this is what I wanted to do my entire life. So this is self-actualizing. And so just seeing the physical thing there was definitely a huge highlight in my life, for sure.
That's one of my favorite topics to talk about on here. So just like I get giddy when I get it, because I've been there. Like, I've experienced that. And it really is a feeling like no other to get that sort of feel. It's so validating to get that. It's just like you actually did it. You got you put in the work. They put in the work. You found the right people. You found the right team. You got a great looking cover, and there it is. It's all the full package. It's all set. Yeah. And then there's the second best thing, planning the launch party. What was yours like?
Mine was great. It was in the Venetian Golf and River Club, and I had 250 people attend, which was,
wow.
I was concerned. I thought, I get 25 people. This is a big room they're having this in. And I had a local bookseller come by with books, and he brought 50, which I thought was, whoa, so many, but he sold out right away. So he could have sold a couple of hundred.
Yeah.
But, who knew? But it was a huge crowd, and I talked about a lot of different things, and my talk went on for about 30, 40 minutes. And then I took a lot of questions, a lot of good questions. I will say, though, it's funny that sometimes, especially in book clubs, I'll get these questions like, did you do X because of Y? And I'm thinking, wow, that's a great insight. Yeah, yeah, I did that. But it was a fun introductory party to get the book out, for sure.
That's awesome. And were you able to mingle, or were you stuck at a table like the whole time?
I was up at the podium talking at first and taking the Q&As, and then I was signing books after that. And then there was like wine and cheese party where I got to mingle with everyone.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. Yeah. So that sounds like a great time. That sounds like one of those things that just that you don't forget. So that's so great that was able to happen. And so now that everything is moving forward, you're getting ready for book two. Everything is, we're able to deliver the script ahead of time, the manuscript ahead of time. So that's fantastic. And thankfully, you have the marketing insight as well. Have you been able to apply that at all to the selling of the book? Because normally, one thing that a lot of authors need to realize is that when it comes to the selling of the book, a lot of it's on the author to make it happen.
Absolutely. The would-be authors better start expanding their social media presence. I think I was lucky with my marketing background and was marketing products. I'd have to talk to the buyers at Target and Walmart and all those things. So I was used to that. And a lot of authors are introverts. For example, I'll go to these book fairs, or if a bookstore is doing local author signings, I'll see them next to me at other tables, and they'll be sitting back in their chair waiting for people to come up to them. I'm in front of the table and I'm hawking my book, giving the key selling line and all of that. So I did have a bit of advantage from my background, but you really do have to work it. You got to go to your local media. I was lucky. I pushed. I went to local newspaper and they did a big feature article on me in the book. I got a local magazine to put me on the cover of their magazine. I've got a lot of stuff like that just comes from pushing and doing bookstore appearances. No one's going to do it for you other than yourself. True. You really do have to get out there if you're an author and you want to make those sales.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm at the halfway point where it comes to where a lot of authors will just be sitting there, sometimes even flipping through their phones or trying to put together like a different post or anything about what's going on. I prefer to stand. I always need to stand whenever I'm doing any sort of signing or any sort of book related event. I need to be standing, because if I sit, the energy level just drops. I need to be standing and I need to be waving hi to everyone that I see. And I even have, since the main character of my sci-fi, of my YA sci-fi trilogy goes back with me to 1992. So that's over 30 years. And one of the things that I like to do is I will bring with me a stack of 4x6 photo paper. And then when I start talking to someone, I will grab my black Sharpie and I will draw what the character looked like when I first sketched him back in 1992. Oh, wow. And I'll tell him the story while I'm doing it, because I know by heart, like how to draw him and everything. And then I'll just go ahead and sign it and I'll hand it to them. Just like, here you go. And if they wind up buying a copy of the book, fantastic. They have that as well. If they don't, then they can put it in a frame, and that'll be a little keepsake for them. But whatever the case, there you go.
That is such a great idea. I love it.
Thank you.
Cool. I wish I could draw.
Yeah. It was fun. Once I found the photo paper, I was just like, score. That's exactly what I needed because it's glossy and it helps everything pop. So yeah, it's fun. That's a fun little thing to do. I miss it. So
I like that. Authors have to be creative and find stuff like that.
And so what is something else that you would recommend to these authors that are just, they are sitting down, but obviously you want them to at least stand up and be able to be comfortable talking about their books and their works and where they came from and everything. What else do you recommend that's going to help them get more awareness of their book out there?
It's really taking advantage of any PR opportunities you may have locally and really pushing yourself. You could, if you have a budget, you can actually run ads on Facebook and on Amazon for not a lot of money. And doing the creative is not, they make it pretty easy for you. So that's an option to get the word out about your book for sure. And reviews are going to be key. So you got to be generating reviews on Amazon. And Goodreads actually has an interesting program for authors, which is a program where you could put your book in a contest. So you give away a free copy of your book. Authors usually do at least 10 free copies.
Yeah.
And Goodreads will have a contest. But what's good about that is not only do you have the 10 winners, say, who read your book, hopefully they'll like it and they'll give you a good review. But I was in a contest on Goodreads and I got thousands of people that signed up for it. And Goodreads will periodically send a reminder to everyone that signed up, didn't win, but that signed up, reminding them about the book. It's put on there to be read. So I think that's an inexpensive way that authors can get the word out there. But it obviously always comes down to the book in some way or another. And my advice for would-be writers really is to learn your craft. And there's a real craft to me. The point of view, the tense, all this stuff. And for me, first I'd say read. And for me, it all started by reading in my genre. Read in your genre for sure.
Yeah.
Read what's selling there. If there's a bestseller on the New York Times list in your genre, make sure you read it. And then some people better themselves in writing by having writing groups where you can criticize each other's work. Another good way to learn your craft is to go online, because there's a lot of really good online courses in writing. I took a few from, I think it was BBC Maestro, and one of them was Harlan Coben teaching writing. The other was our Jack Reacher author, Lee, teaching. And they didn't always agree with each other, but that's good. You can make your own point of view, but you will learn. There's like a dozen video lessons on this, and you'll definitely pick up things. And I think the last thing I'd say about learning your writing is I think almost every genre has a convention. So for me as a thriller writer, I would go to Thriller Fest in New York City. And it's a week long thing. And part of it is meeting other authors who are the nicest community. I'm telling you, community of authors are very helpful, very nice. So part of it's socializing and listening to panels of best-selling authors. But they have, as part of that, there's definitely craft sessions that go on for a couple of days, an hour about this, an hour about that.
And so where can my listeners find you on social media?
I am on Instagram and Facebook, and my website is michaelwendroff.com.
Michael Wendroff.
You can also pick up my book in bookstores as well as online retailers like Amazon, Barnes & Noble, etc.
Yes. And by the time you hear this, there're bound to be some more developments coming on in the saga. So I am very excited to hear about that. So we're going to have your website in our notes, so that way people can go ahead and click on that, go over there and get caught up and make sure that they're all up to date on everything that's going on. I could not be more excited for this conversation. And I hope that all of you are feeling just as excited, just as motivated, especially when it comes to marketing your books. Writing the book is one thing. You write down the end. That is not the end. That is literally just the beginning of everything, because you got a long way to go. And when the book is done, there's still a long way to go, because then you got to make sure that this book is in the hands of as many people as possible. And that I'm sorry to say, is where you come in, people. You got to make sure to get yourself out there. For all of you wonderful introverts, it's going to go against the grain to do this, but you can do this because this is something that you want to do. This is something you've wanted to do for all your life. You want to be a storyteller. You want your books to find the right people. Once you put in the work to get the books done, then comes the fun part. Then it's all about getting it out into the hands of the people. And by all means, do whatever you can, whether it's taking out Facebook ads or Amazon ads, whether it's going on podcasts, whether it's reaching out to local newspapers, look for those. And if it winds up being a big enough hit, if it winds up turning enough heads, you're going to wind up being a local TV to talk about it. Who knows? The possibilities are endless and it's all up to you. So please get those works out there. Get whatever has been in your mind, make it a reality. Get the cover around it and get them out into the hands of the people. They are waiting for you to let them know what is the next thing to read. And in these crazy times, we need your stories, your ideas, and your vision now more than ever. So for Michael Wendroff, this is George Soroy saying to all of you, ever upward, and I will see you next week. Thank you very much for listening to this episode of Excelsior Journeys. I hope it was both inspiring and entertaining. Special thanks to Zach Comtois for providing new music for the intro and outro. Please take a moment to leave a rate and review on Apple Podcasts. And if you enjoy the show, please share it with your friends and subscribe to your platform of choice by going to hesgotit.com/podcasts. While there, you can also fill out the application to be a guest, inquire about sponsorship opportunities, and click on the Buy Me a Coffee link if you wish to give your support to the show. All interaction is very much appreciated. If you have a question, comment, or suggestion for the show, please direct it to George@hesgotit.com.